Let's turn in our Bibles. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 10. This is such a beautiful passage, and we're going to make our way through a fair amount of it this morning, but we're going to begin by reading verses 1 through 10, and then I want to read verse 14. May God bless the reading of His Word. This is Jesus speaking. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all he has, all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. First part of verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Father, we pray that you will truly bless this powerful portion of your word to our hearts this morning. We pray that you will speak to us deeply by your Holy Spirit, and that you will, Lord, bring our hearts to a place of listening for your voice and enjoying the goodness of the pasture that you offer to us in Jesus Christ. And we just ask your anointing upon this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, for years, we have been hearing about the cable company Empire Cable. And we knew they would eventually come to our neighborhood. And sure enough, like several months ago, they began to do their work in our neighborhood and drilling holes and laying cable. And we knew that when they were all done, they were going to come and try to sell us Empire. And we've been with Spectrum for, you know, decades, for years. And so now here's the thing is we, you know, our family, Janice and I, might be one of the few families that actually have been very satisfied with Spectrum. We don't have problems with them. We don't have dropouts. We don't. And so, you know, I see the complaints people have. If you're having complaints, God bless you. But I clued into the fact that they have a new ad campaign that's called Life Unlimited. And one of the ads features these teens riding their bikes and doing all these outdoorsy things like hanging upside down from trees and jumping off cliffs into a lake and swimming around and riding their bikes through all kinds of terrain. And while they're doing that, one of the teens asks this. He says, what if you never had to worry about what you could do because you could do anything? What if all the things that get in your way were gone so that the only thing left is possibility? So the only limit you faced was how big you could dream. What would you do then? Some pretty cool stuff, I bet. Yeah, that'd be some life. That'd be life unlimited. Now, never mind the irony of Spectrum showing kids doing things, all the things that kids used to do before they got Spectrum, before they got screens and internet and data and texting. Putting that aside, I don't deny that Spectrum might be able to offer unlimited data, unlimited texting, and unlimited calls, but they cannot offer unlimited life. But Jesus can. And that's what he does in John 10 10. He says, the thief comes only to steal, to rob, to destroy. But I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. The thief, doesn't matter what he promises, he's only got one package. He offers one package, one bundle: steal, kill, destroy. That's the only thing. When the devil comes, he may promise you life. He may promise you good things. He may promise you all kinds of wonderful things, but he is going to steal everything that is precious to you. He's going to destroy everything around your life and that makes up your life. And then finally, when he's tortured your life with destruction and stealing things that are mean something to you, and he's ripped you to the studs, then he kills you. That's his one package. But Jesus, I want you to notice this is the only place where Jesus uses a specific word to describe the life he offers. That word is abundant. It's the only place that speaks of abundant life. And abundant in the Greek, it means over and above. It means more than necessary. It means, and this is my favorite, super added. I had to look that up. Super added. What does that mean? It means to add in such a way as to compound the effect. It's like compound interest. It begins to roll over on itself and build momentum and grow exponentially. That's the life that Jesus offers us. Compound life. Life on life, life unlimited. And that's what we're going to spend the next several weeks looking at life unlimited and different aspects of the gospel that offer us life unlimited. But I want to begin by saying what life unlimited is not what we're talking about. Life unlimited does not mean a life where we can do anything we want and get everything we want. That would actually bring death, not life. See, if God said to you, I think it was C.S. Lewis who said, there are two types of people in the world, those that say to God, your will be done, and those that God says to the person, your will be done. It's the worst thing God could say, is I'm going to give you everything you want, because that's death. The Bible says that the thing that kills us is our desires. That's what kills us. Desire's gone wrong. God's put desire in us. If you are hungry, that's put there by God. All the desires that we have are put there by God, but sin has caused those desires to go in the wrong direction. So when we foster it, it conceives and it gives birth to sin. And then it says when sin is fully grown, it gives birth to death. So really, the desires, the wrong desires we have are the grandpas and the grandmas of death. They bring death to our life. So that is not, life unlimited doesn't mean life without restrictions, life without boundaries, do whatever you want. Life unlimited, what Jesus means, abundant life, means no shortage of life with Jesus. There's no shortage of the things that bring life to us. If I were to go to a faucet, a water faucet, and I were to fill my glass with water and I were to drink it, I could drink a half a glass of water. I could drink a glass of water. I could drink two glasses if I was thirsty. I could drink a gallon of water. But the only thing that's going to stop my drinking is when I've had enough. Not because we ran out of water. The supply of water is not measured by how much I drink. So one believer might be drinking a full glass of abundant life from Jesus. The life is available in Christ. And another believer might be just drinking a quarter of a glass of abundant life and they're dehydrated, but that's all they want because maybe they're filling their life with other desires. And someone else might be sitting here, you know, you just drank a gallon of abundant life and you're just overflowing with abundant life. But for all, The shortage is never in what Jesus can supply. Life on life, abundant life, eternal life, life that has no limit to it. Jesus has all the life you will ever want. Unlimited supply of life. And that unlimited life is available to anyone who comes to Jesus. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what cards you've been dealt in life. You know, like somebody could say, you know, the cards I've been dealt in life, I can't have an abundant life. I don't like my life. I don't have the advantages other people have. Maybe I don't have the money that some people have. I don't have the skills some people have. Maybe I am physically, mentally challenged in some way. Whatever the cards is that we have, maybe you're in a hard season or maybe you're in a great season of life. It really doesn't matter. Jesus has abundant life for you if you will drink it. And so I want to unpack that more over the next several weeks. But this morning I want to share a truth from this passage that has meant a lot to my heart this week. And I pray that it will become very, very precious to you as well this morning. And it's this very simple truth. Life unlimited comes from belonging to Jesus. Life unlimited comes from belonging to Jesus. See, I think there's something about this metaphor of the good shepherd and the sheep that drew out of Jesus this word that's never used in other places concerning life, abundant. Jesus talks about life a lot. He talks about living life, living waters. But this is the only place he speaks of abundant life. And I think because the primary truth in this passage, the primary truth draws out this beautiful picture of life super added. Now, what is the primary truth in this passage? Do you see it? We might think, if we read this, we might think, we certainly will notice the importance of listening to his voice. Amen? I mean, Jesus says, and let's reread verses 2-5. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Sheep do bond with their shepherd. They do bond with their shepherd, and they learn to know and they learn to trust and follow their shepherd's voice, because they trust their shepherd to provide for them, to guide them, to protect them. So we do need to know Jesus' voice, and we need to flee from any voice that isn't Jesus. And that's why when you're listening, I want to encourage you, when you're listening to a sermon or a teaching or reading a book or listening to a podcast or wherever you're hearing teaching, I want to encourage you, including right here this morning and every morning, to be like the Bereans, who, as Paul was teaching them, would search the scriptures to make sure what he was saying was true to scripture. The Bible says they're noble. So you search the scriptures and you see, is what being said biblical? Is it the voice of Jesus through his word? Because the more we know God's word, the more we can recognize the voice of God, the voice of Jesus, the leading of the Holy Spirit. You know, when we detach, and I'm talking we generically, when people detach the voice of Jesus and the leading of the Holy Spirit from the authoritative word of God, you get weird stuff. You get really weird stuff. I've heard people attribute things that were absolutely in opposition to the Word of God and say that the Holy Spirit was leading them. And all that is, I mean, there's extreme cases, but there's also less extreme cases where people just attach the voice of God to their own desires. And then there's some who go apostate with it full bore. But all of that is dangerous. So we need to say, is this the voice of the Word of God? If it's not in the Word of God, if it goes contrary to the Word of God, it ain't the voice of Jesus. Amen, period, flee. That easy. If it's not in the Scriptures, if it goes against the Scriptures, it's not the voice of Jesus, flee. But, so this idea of the listening for the voice of Jesus and knowing His voice is so important in this passage. But as important as that is, that's not Jesus's primary point here. His primary point isn't about hearing. It's about belonging. Listen to what He says in verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. My sheep, verse 27, jumping down. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. I know my own, and my own know me. My sheep hear my voice. We hear Jesus' voice because we belong to Him. If we don't hear His voice, it's because we do not belong to Him. And we'll come back to that in a few minutes. But Jesus says He knows His sheep by name, and His sheep know Him. If we are Jesus' sheep, we belong to Him. We belong to Him. And when we get that, it is so strengthening to our souls and to our hearts. It's so assuring of us that we don't live hoping that Jesus loves us and hoping He'll get us through and hoping we are saved. We belong to Him. And that is so precious. It got me thinking about this whole idea of belonging. Deep in our hearts, I believe every human being longs to belong. You know, we talk about being all that we can be. But I think the biggest thing we want to be is belong. We want to belong. We want to have a place we belong. It's how God created us. Belonging is based on relationship. God created us as relational beings. Belonging is relationship. Belonging is familiarity. Belonging is caring and community. And to meet that very deep desire, and a good desire, God created things like marriage and family and communities and churches where we could connect and we could belong. These are all blessings from God, and they're an important part of a life that's lived to its fullest, but all those things put together are not enough. They're not enough. It's why we could have such a full life and still feel like something is missing. And I think a lot of people are struggling with that. Loneliness today has reached epidemic heights. It's always been loneliness, but it has reached epidemic heights. And I think it comes from feeling like we don't belong. We don't have a place we belong. We don't have a tribe. We don't have a community. And despite unlimited connectivity with Spectrum or Empire or whoever you have, unlimited connectivity, people are not connecting. They're not really connecting. You might have hundreds or thousands of Facebook friends. You might, I don't think anybody in this room has millions of followers. If you do, I'd love to talk to you. But there are people who have millions of followers on Facebook or Instagram. You could get likes, and but there's less and less connecting on a true and deep level. Connecting is essential to our lives. More and more people today are running to AI. And there is even a movement where people are developing relationships with AI, like a friend you can turn to. But that will never fulfill our longing. We will be left lonely because there's no one on the other side. It's artificial intelligence. There's no love. There's no care. There's just fake love, artificial care, artificial comparison, artificial companionship. And we long for something real. But even the very best of God's provisions on earth still leave us with a sense of longing to belong. They're treasured, but they're not enough. And that's where Jesus came to give us unlimited belonging. Jesus said in verse 16, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. And you know what he's talking about? Picture where he's in. He's talking to Jews, and he's looking ahead to Gentiles. He's looking ahead to the gospel breaking that wall that the Old Testament kind of set and breaking through to the Gentiles and breaking through not only geographically to the Gentiles, but historically to the Gentiles, so that probably most of us in this room, we are Gentiles. And we were at one time as Gentiles outside of the covenant of God. We were outside of his covenant. We were, as Ephesians 2 says, without God and without hope in the world. We were far away. We didn't have that covenant. We didn't belong in the family of God. We didn't have access to the promises of God. But Jesus says, I have other sheep. They belong to me. I have other sheep. They don't belong to this fold right now, but they will, because they will hear my voice and they will come into the fold. I will bring them into the fold, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Hallelujah. And I'm so grateful. Amen. Aren't you grateful that Jesus called out to us and said, you are my sheep, Gentile. You are my flock. And so we are part of one flock with one shepherd that Jesus laid down his life to purchase. He says, I lay down my life again and I take it up again. Jesus gave his life to make us his own. And we belong to Jesus. We belong to him. Our relationship with God and Jesus is framed as belonging. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. The church is God's people. Think about all the different pictures in the New Testament that speak of our relationship to God. They are relational. Just as George said, you know, what's the big thing about Christianity? It's not a religion that's just follow these rules and do these things. It's relationship with God. So we are God's people. People. We are God's community. We are Jesus' bride. We are the family of God. We belong to Jesus. If Jesus is your good shepherd, you belong to him. You belong to him. He's not going to let go of you. Even if you are completely alone in this life, you belong to him. And you are not alone because he is yours. And I'll tell you what, the person who has Jesus has more belonging in their life than someone who doesn't have Jesus and may have millions and millions of friends and relationships. You'll never not belong if you belong to Jesus. You will never experience a day in all of eternity where you don't belong to the one that it matters the most to. God, Jesus, our good shepherd, will guide us and protect us and provide for us through life and into eternity. unlimited life. And Jesus says nothing can ever snatch us out of his hand. Nothing can unbelong us if you are one of his sheep. So I want to take a moment and just say, let that sink into your heart. If you are his, you will never not be his. He will never let go of you. You will never cease to belong to him because he loves you. He gave his life for you, and nothing can snatch you out of his hand. Life Unlimited begins with belonging. Like, you think about, you know, all the different things I want to think about, like unlimited love and unlimited grace and unlimited mercy and unlimited this and that. And it's like, why would you start with belonging? It's not even really a word that's found a lot in Scripture. I'll tell you why I'm starting with belonging, because it's in the belonging bundle that all that other is included. Unlimited life, unlimited love, unlimited mercy and forgiveness. It is bundled under belonging. If you belong to Jesus, all of that is yours. His provision, his protection, everything, abundant life, super added life is found for those who belong to Jesus. We are his. I love that truth. And we are his not because we're good enough, we've done enough, we go to church enough, we tithe enough, we you know, don't smoke, chew, or go with girls who do. We do all these things. No, we belong to him because we have believed in him. We have trusted him. All the good blessings of the gospel are included in the belonging bundle. So if you belong, all those other things belong. I want to, in closing, make two quick points. Two quick points as we close this morning. The first point is this. We're sheep, not anteaters. Okay? You didn't see that coming. You didn't. Unless they had it on the screen. We're sheep, not anteaters. Anteaters are one of those rare animals that live their entire life alone. I mean, other than mating, they're just alone. They don't want community. They don't go to anteater church. They don't hang out in singles group to try to meet another anteater. They live their lives alone. They just want to be left alone. Leave me alone to eat my ants in peace, will you? That's an anteater. That's what they do. Jesus doesn't call us anteaters. He calls us sheep. Sheep live in flocks. Jesus said there will be one flock and one shepherd. So when we gather together as a church, and the Bible says that gathering together is a priority for believers, each of us individually belong to the community of believers because we individually belong to Jesus. So in that sense, we belong to one another. We are the family of God. That doesn't mean, think of your family, your earthly family. You've got problems in your family, right? There's maybe tensions. You've got that crazy Uncle Bob that comes around at Thanksgiving. And, you know, people that you love so get along so well and others that are hard. Same is true in the church. But we are family because we belong to Jesus. We belong to one another. That's why we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We gather as Jesus' flock for this purpose. Why do we do this every Sunday? It's in order to encourage one another, to love one another, to pray for one another, to correct one another. When one of us does that sheep thing and begins to wander off on our own, that's what sheep do. It's like, hey, Bill, come on back, man. Here's the flock. You're doing wrong. The Bible says this. You're doing that. We're to correct one another, the Bible says. I want people to say to me when I'm going off into some crazy pasture and some wolf is eyeing me up because I'm getting far away from the world, I want someone to say, that's not biblical. We meet to do these things and we meet to always point one another to Jesus Christ. Amen? We're here about Jesus. We're not here to feel good or life principles, help you seven keys to living the life of your dreams, your best life ever and everything. We're here to point to Jesus Christ and Him as our Savior and Lord. So remember this point. If Jesus is your shepherd, you're a sheep, not an anteater. And my second and closing point is this. Life unlimited is limited to those who are Jesus' sheep. Now, if we drop into the context of this passage, this is not just a group of people loving on Jesus and holding hands and standing in a circle singing Kumbaya. There is a large group of hostile people, and they're there to argue with Jesus. They're there to debate his every point. They're there to poke holes in everything he says. They're there to question who he thinks he is. And so they ask him a question like this, not because they want an answer. There are people who ask questions not because they want an answer, but because they want an argument. And that's these people. They have no interest in the truth. They simply want to tear down what he says. And so they ask him a question, and Jesus addresses them directly. In verse 25, Jesus answered them, "I told you, I gave you the answer to the question you ask, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me." I want you to notice Jesus doesn't say to them, "You aren't my sheep because you do not believe." He says to them, "You do not believe because you are not my sheep." Jesus said, "No one comes to him except the Father draws them. No one comes to me except the Father draws them." There's not a human being on planet Earth in all of history that on their own said, "I'm just going to go to Jesus and I'm going to believe in him and receive eternal life." The Father worked in their hearts to bring them to Jesus. But then Jesus says, "All who come to me, I will never cast out." I will never say to someone who comes to me sincerely, ask me to be their Savior and their shepherd, I will never say to them, "You don't belong. You don't belong." No. Jesus says, "All who come to me, I won't say you, I will not cast them out. I'll say you belong. But you only got there because the Father drew you." And so, if you have a desire to come to Jesus, if you don't know him as your shepherd, and you desire to be in his flock, and you desire to trust in his saving work, and you desire to ask him to be your shepherd, don't ignore that desire. Don't reject that desire. Don't put off that desire. Call upon him. That is God's supernatural work in you. Respond to it by receiving him. Come to Jesus and make him your good shepherd. And he promises that as we come to him, he will make us his own sheep, beloved and belonging. That's the best news. That's the best life. In fact, that's the only place life is. That's the only bundle package for life. There's no other place in the universe for life. It's either abundant life through Jesus or a life torn down, ripped apart, stolen, destroyed, and killed by Satan. Those are the only two choices. Come to Jesus if you haven't already.